Father, Abba, Father. Amen. I pray that the very spirit of adoption just rises up in you to speak, Abba, Father. Heavenly Daddy loves us so. Who are we? By God's riches in grace, mercy, His love, you were called unto Him, given the right to become a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's who you are. It's all because of who He was. He had a plan. He sent Jesus. Jesus surrendered to the Father, willingly laid down His life for you and I. But He took it up again, and today He lives. And that is why we live today. Hallelujah. We can face tomorrow. Don't have to walk in fear about anything, because all things come under our Father. Hallelujah. He's a sovereign God, and He cares for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood still flows. There was power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And He's at the right hand of the Father, given all authority. And yes, He's yours. He's your perfect high priest. He understands exactly what you're going through right now today. He knows the circumstance, He knows the beginning, and He knows the end of it. He knows the causes. He knows all the whys, and we don't have to know. We just have to trust Him. Hand the circumstance over to Him and let go of it. Trust Him. Heaven's best is reserved for you, His child. And He is at work today. Father, we have much to glorify You for, to worship You. We could worship You for a lifetime, but we thank You today that we as a people, and yet as individuals, can lay down our lives and circumstances before You and glorify You by trusting You with them. Thank You, Lord, that we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry about everything, but everything, we'll pray. All types of supplications, and prayers, petitions, and thank You that You're faithful to hear them, and You're working right now. Glory to Your name. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You can give someone a hug around you, a couple people, before you sit down. Amen. Sure. Sure. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to get a hug there? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's good to see movement. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got two children today. Allie's going to do the teaching today. Allie's teaching. Amen. No. Oh, yes, I'll announce that once a month. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Yes, yes. All right. If we could make our way back towards our seats, if that's okay. It is okay. Yes. Miss Robin's going to pray over the children today, and Allie's going to be teaching today, so she's prepared and all ready to roll. Miss Robin's going to pray over the children, so come on up here, girls. Miss Robin will make sure it's behind you. There it is. Amen.
Good morning. How you doing?
A little sore, but good.
All right. I'm so glad.
Care of her? No more crutches.
No more crutches. That's praise right. God.
So we're going to extend our hands and pray for these beautiful
Amen.
Young ladies.
Thank you, Lord.
Future women of God. Lord, we thank you for these young ladies,
Jesus.
Lord. We ask that you would just stir up the dreams that you've placed within them. Father, I thank you that you're using them already, Lord, to encourage and to build up and to be a witness. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the boldness that I see.
Jesus.
And I thank you of how you're already using Serenity, especially, Lord, with her heart, Lord,
thank
for all
Jesus.
That she wants to do.
Thank you, Lord.
And, Lord, I just thank you for the so many, many things that you're doing in these two young girls' lives, Lord. And I just praise you for that. I praise you for what they're doing, Lord, and just the light
the
that you shine through them, through their smiles, and just how they encourage me personally. I'm just so grateful, Lord. And I just give you all the praise. I ask that you would anoint the teaching today, Lord, that they would leave different than how they walked in.
Yes.
And I pray that for all of us here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give them a better hand than that, please. All right, come on now. Come on now. Come on now. What do you want the kids to go out like? All right, yeah. You know. Three claps is not good. All right, here we go. All right. Amen. Art's going to receive the Lord's tithes and offerings today. Father, thank you that we have the privilege of giving again today. I just pray, just multiply the giving and that the kingdom will go forward. And as you're preparing our hearts for revival, Lord God, start today. We just revive us, awaken us to a brand new understanding of who you are. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Here he comes. Here he comes, and there he goes. Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. As you're continuing to pray and fast this week that's coming forth, we want to ask you to pray for the camp. Camp starts tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. at the house. And 20, 24 children are coming and 16, 18 leaders. And everything will be ready by midnight or 3 a.m. I don't know. There's just lots of things to put in place, and fantastic. So, Joe LaBeouf this week came out and built an incredible fire pit for us, 8 foot in diameter. It's awesome. It's an awesome fire pit. Let me tell you, you'll all get to enjoy it. Amen. We enjoyed it last night. We couldn't even wait to get the sand in the bottom, what are we supposed to have in there, but we threw some wood in there. Our daughter and son-in-law came over with some friends, and it was awesome. Had a great evening. There was three towns having fireworks all around us, and we could see with our view, so we just sat around the fire pit and watched three towns have their fireworks show. So, pretty cool. Sure you can. Have I ever been able to stop you, baby? No. Amen. Come on up.
I just wanted to share a little bit. I'll take 2 minutes. But these children that are coming are children that were flagged. That just needed an extra week of TLC. They're really considered children at risk for many reasons. They all have a story. And so they were handpicked to come, knowing that they would just feel, even though we can't share the gospel, they're going to feel the gospel. They're going to feel the love. That those grounds will be anointed and prayed over before the camp ever takes off every morning. And I just ask that you would just keep these little guys in prayer. This first week, their children, they're very small. They're kids who have only finished first or second grade. And the reason we went so young is because the need was so great at even that young. We could have easily picked 50 that had stories. But we can only take 24. But if you could just keep them in prayer this next week, we're really believing that God's going to do a great thing, that they're going to know that there are people who care about them, and we're going to speak hope into their lives and be able to let them know that they're not out there with their stories by themselves, that there's a lot of people who are going to be caring for them. So if you could do that, that would be great.
I'll take this one. Am I on? Yes, I'm on. Yes. Well, I wanted to share with you, I belong to a prophetic website that, and a prophecy came forth, and I think it just fits us to a T. It's unbelievable that a lady, Cindy McGill, in Salt Lake City, Utah, had this message from the Lord, and she put it out on this website, and I read it this week, and it was just a great encouragement. And it says, the new breed of leaders, solid and unwavering. And it speaks of God's church going forward. But it just describes maybe the season that we walked through, too. It's kind of uncanny. And so I just want to read it for you. It says, the new fathers and mothers are arising from the hidden place and are solid in their ability to lead this revival army. They are unwavering in obedience to God, full of character, integrity, father-hearted towards the ones they are training. Gifts are given, and fruit is grown. We are not known by our gifts, but by the fruit of the Spirit, having love one for another. Giftedness does not in any way measure maturity. Ones who have submitted to God's refining fire to burn up the impurities will have the greatest power available to them. When iron is strengthened, when iron is strengthened, the metal is put in the fire over and over again. Now, when you go through difficult times, think of this in the situation of real life. Then beaten to cause all of the weaknesses to surface so they can be removed and give it strength to stand. Now just think of that the next time you go through something. It says the new leadership of revival fathers emerging has this strength. They've been through the fire when nobody knew who they were. They have stood in the days of adversity, accusations, misunderstandings, and have turned to God for his guidance in their pain. They have suffered injustices, loss of inheritance, and falsely accused. Their desire to find God in every circumstance has caused them to understand aspects of God's love, and it has transformed them. Refusing bitterness has caused their hearts and minds to be fused together with God on every level, developing a resiliency that is unshakable. People can confidently submit to these leaders because their spiritual authority is pure and seeks what is best for the ones they are leading. These leaders are not puffed up with pride or use their authority to abuse, but lead from a place of humility and love. They have been under authority, understand authority, and confidently lead by example, working side by side with the ones they are leading. Now, God's forming leaders right here in our midst. Okay, remember, there's revival coming. There are going to be people looking to you and I. And so it says, this revival army will be led by the hidden generals that are now emerging, and God's favor is promoting them to the forefront for such a time as this. In our journey, we have unknowingly met people who will be used to open doors for our destiny. These people are the most unlikely choice in our minds because we met them in our prisons. Remember the days of the prisons? It was past, praise God. But also, prison is often the pathway to the palace. It seems to be God's preparation place. Amen? The very place where we have been hidden is the very place our divine connection will come from. Preparation has been done in us while we were in this confinement of seemingly dead-end circumstances. All of this discontentment, squirming, complaining, depression, days of visionless sight have been to prepare us for a greater assignment. We found ourselves shaped by refining tools for our next placement, because in prison, all of our skills, knowledge, and self-advancement techniques are useless. Doors remain shut until His perfect timing is here. When we feel like our purpose is over, suddenly the cupbearer appears. This one person who seems like just another prisoner, but has been chosen by God to go ahead of us to prepare the way. Suddenly, in a moment of time, the right person says the right thing at the right time, and our whole lives are shifted, springing doors open. I take a moment and I praise God for you all, because you are relentless to opening doors in my life. Personally, when I read this, it was just too personal. I wanted to read it to this church because you are a part of, I think this prophetic word, whether it was just given just a few days ago, describes you beautifully. The best way to enter into this new position is to get rid of things you have packed around for years in both the natural and the spiritual. It's just stuff. Most of the things we have accumulated over the years are not even needed. When Joseph was summoned to the palace to stand before Pharaoh, he changed his clothes, shaved, got cleaned up, and left old things behind. The new destination for you is marked with adventure and freedom from past issues. Now, this is where I want you to tune in to me. Okay? The past should never dictate our future, but the future has need of the lessons learned from our past. Old mindsets and ways of doing life are not needed in this new assignment. It's important to rid ourselves of everything that is not needed for the new job. This new assignment will not require your old stuff. In fact, old stuff can often be a distraction and hinder our advancement. This place requires a fresh start, free from hindrances from the past. The lighter you are, the higher you'll go. Stepping into new, unknown positions can be a bit scary, but our confidence is in the one who has seen fit to put us there. See, if you're kind of nervous of what this is supposed to look like, what's it going to look like, it's brand new, and it's got to be His way. Places of advancement didn't come overnight. There were many days tried by fire and many tears shed when our character was formed in secret. We can reflect on dark days when we felt like nothing would ever happen and that our lives were nothing more than a distant glance from God. There were days we were certain we had missed something and we were in these dark circumstances because we had done something wrong to cause us to be there. All of these thoughts still hold places in our minds when the prison doors are finally opened and the time has come to stand in the place of promise. Being brave to embrace the new place will strengthen our legs, help us get our footing in the broad place. Humility is our fuel, grace is our life raft, and confidence in God is our strength. It is important to remember that God is calling the shots. He has gone to great lengths to assure our preparation for the job we are called to do. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the works of the Lord and setting things in motion to advance the kingdom in ways we have never even dreamed of. God is doing some incredible things in ways we have never seen Him before. He is, after all, the Creator. There are secrets and mysteries stored up until now. These are things He has not allowed us to see or experience. Wisdom to govern kingdoms, cities, states, and areas of influence are now appearing. There is a repositioning of power. People who have been in positions but have not aligned with God's plan are being replaced by leaders whom God has their full attention to accomplish His purposes. Politically, spiritually, and vocationally are areas God is placing His appointed ones. Get ready to see new faces and new places, and new victories will be won. These are exciting times. Our job is to fear not. God has this. He is in complete control. In turning our hearts and minds to Him, we will be kept in perfect peace, which shreds and powders Satan under our feet. The best days are ahead. Follow His direction will keep us on pathways that will define our destiny and purpose. Amen? Now that prophetic word was given just a few days ago, but I want to say as I read that, it's time that we said, for the last time, what has happened to us? God has turned around. God has used it for His purposes. Just like Joseph, when he told his brothers, when he was set and sold to slavery, when he was falsely accused, sent to prison, left there for years of his life, and then the cupbearer remembered before the king, brought him back to prominence. Even when he had his brothers come to him, and they actually bowed down at him, didn't reveal who he was. And the biggest thing, when Joseph's father, Jacob, died, his brothers had great fear because they thought, now he's not going to really ever forgive us and he's going to exact vengeance on us. And he turned to them and he wept bitterly before them because, no, you're forgiven. This is over with. In other words, released. Now, with this, when I read this, I believe the Spirit of the Lord impressed upon my heart that we still have some residue from past against whether it's Foursquare or whatever. And you've kind of given situations or maybe if they do this, then I will. All I'm saying in the Lord, God says forgive first. Release them already. They don't have to do anything. Why do I say that? Because as I was studying 1 Peter, and if you want to turn in your Bibles with me right now to 1 Peter 2, the Lord took me back here to share this word with you today. Because if we truly are going to go forward and revival is going to come, we have to be free of the past. I mean, truly forgive, release, let it all go. Every person, every circumstance. Someone gave me a sign a long time ago, you have to forgive everyone, everything. And you say, well, that's not easy to do. All I know is Jesus did it first for me. And for you. And I want to follow in His footsteps. And today, for some reason, the Spirit impressed upon me, there's still feelings. When you talk about, if we're going to truly forgive them, if we talk about them in the future, it's got to be for blessing. God, turn their hearts towards you, forgive them, cleanse them. You want heaven's best for them, not that they're this and they're that. Don't talk like we have disdain towards them if we're truly going to forgive them, because they need to be released, because we need to be released. See, that prison not only starts out in hurt, but if we remain in unforgiveness, and truly we can say it, but when you talk about it, if it comes up, and I say this just a few weeks away from being totally assessed by Foursquare. They're going to assess Robin and I together as a couple, spiritually and as leaders, and we asked that we would. Please. We're not shying away from it. And you know what? I have to give you this message because I believe our Father truly wants to shower down an incredible revival, powerful miracles, healing is going to take place, but for some reason He wants me today, at least, to come back to this and say, let's lay this to rest today. In the name of Jesus, the power to forgive is here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, Verse 13, it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, or to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Now we talk slaves. Submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Amen. Now that pretty much covers pretty much anybody, whether they do good, bad, or whatever reason. And we live in America, and we want to know the whole story behind every story. Had to let go of that a long time ago. But all I know is, for some reason, the Lord wanted me to share this today. Why? Because if you look over in chapter 3 of the same book, verses 15 is a key verse. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Now, because there's going to be people that you're going to come in contact with, and he wants you to be prepared, but first and foremost, Jesus Christ can't be just someone who suggests that you forgive. There was nothing found in him that was sinful. And yet they still found plenty of reason to beat him and kill him, humiliate the Son of God. But you know what? Not one time did he make a threat when he was in the midst of suffering. You imagine getting beaten the way he did when it said you wouldn't even know he was a man. And even in the midst of that, he didn't get back, grit his teeth, say something. He didn't sit there and say, one day I'm going to come back. And no, wasn't even in him. Why? Because he entrusted himself. That's what we all have to do. Guess what? Nothing in this world is hidden from our God. You, me, or anyone else. And he judges justly. Perfectly just. Every time. He's not going to, if someone's getting away with something and we think it, we only see this picture. Because God sees the whole picture and he knows they're not getting away with anything, guys. That's why the psalmist David wrote that it looked unfair. Looks like the world's being blessed and I'm working hard here and I'm following you and I love you and I'm just struggling and going through this time. It's so unfair from my perspective, which is how small compared to God's. How much can you see in this world from one standpoint? I don't care if it's in a high spot. And how much can you see really to make a judgment on? The things that are maybe close and right in front of you, we can do that, and we do. But can you imagine just the highest mountaintop you've ever stood on? And how, I mean, you might be able to see for 20 miles, but really how clear can you see anything? From a mile away, can you even see a person? And yet God sees the whole situation, the whole heart, the whole motive, the whole journey. We see people in a picture and in a time. And you know, I see men that were over me a year and a half ago, and I just see a picture of when they dealt with me and my response and my anger and my hurt. And I can't leave them there, because if I leave them there, that's my very limited perspective of the journey that they're on. Did God have to teach me something? He had to teach me a whole lot. Does he have to teach them something? I believe just as much as any and all of us. And all I know is the Lord did this and said these things, because when we read that for by his wounds you have been healed, we've been praying for supernatural things to happen, for God things to happen. And the God things that have to happen are all these types of things, like forgiveness and releasing and entrusting our lives to God. I mean, we got to make the decision even now and trust everything that you are. And if you think those things that you have are yours, even your children and your grandchildren, they're not yours. They're his. And trust them to him. And trust everything, because, see, a lot of these wounds that he took to be healed were for a lot of reasons, not just physical healing. Relationships, families. Right after it says, you've been healed, for you are like sheep going astray. In other words, here's a warning. Don't drift from God. It's real easy to get our eyes on something. Well, they did this, so I don't need to follow. No, if we're going to follow close, we need to look at it and say, I have to release. I have to. Have to. And if the feelings rise up again, keep on releasing. Keep releasing. Keep forgiving. And trusting to God by your righteousness, Jesus, by the power of your blood that flows today, forgive them through me. Let me be released so I can walk as it says, live as free men. Now, anyone ever been incarcerated? In a cell? No. Praise God. Thank you. Maybe overnight or for a few nights or something, and then for a time, but no one likes that. No one likes to be in prison. And yet there are many people that live as Christians and followers of God, and yet they live in prison. And God wants us to live as free people, to freedom. We've got to let these things go, and if the enemy, which he always does, he'll take that past and he'll attach it. So not only it's baggage, a part of that thing was you got to get rid of these old things because it's stuff. Who needs unforgiveness or bitterness? Does anyone need that? That's one of your enemies. Remember, the battle isn't ever flesh and blood. Ever. It's all the things that the enemy will attach to you on the journey. And if we let unforgiveness become bitterness and resentment, and all of a sudden you find a lifetime goes by, and all of a sudden, my gosh, I've been judging everything. Do you find yourself critiquing people around you just at sight? Well, I don't like that person. Look at how they reacted. You see me on any given Sunday, I can be happy and joyful and friendly, and then I'm serious over here, and you talk to me, and you can tell my mind's miles away because I'm concentrating on something. That's not ever disrespect, and I don't love you, but boy, it comes across that way, and you might walk out of here and say, my gosh, Pastor wasn't very friendly today, was he? I wanted to talk with him, I wanted to share with him, and he didn't even laugh. You see how we do that to sometimes with people and situations in the world especially? And it says, at all times, to everyone who asks, to give them the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. Now that goes against some things you hear, man. We gotta hit them hard. You see Jesus going around driving it down anybody's throat? I mean, no, he didn't. I mean, now come on, how do we get off so far from, well, you know what? There's a big difference between following Jesus and acting like we think this is what a Christian should act like. We live in America, we can fight for our rights, and we're servants of all, y'all. Servants of all. And to this it says you are called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now, I would encourage you to get to know Jesus in the scriptures. Go back to the Gospels. Watch how he walked, how he talked, how he treated people. You can't go wrong and follow in his footsteps. Because this whole book of 1 Peter is incredible. Since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude that you're going to go through difficult times. But just that for his wounds you have been healed, there are four passages that are in the Old and the New Testament that this is pertaining to. Turn back with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32, way back, when the law is being given. 32:39. Deuteronomy 32:39. It reads this way. See now that I myself am he. God, the Lord speaking, and he's talking about his people that have turned away from him. Useless idolatry. They're looking for, they'd rather worship a little rock than the rock. Okay? The rock of ages. And God is sick of it. They've In verse 32, you see, oh, their vine comes from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are filled with poison. They've chosen so much less than what God has for them. And then in verse 36, says, the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants. When he sees their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free, he will say, now, where are their gods, little g? The rock they took refuge in, their gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings, let them rise up to help you. Let them give you shelter. See now that I myself am he, big H. There is no little god besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand. Now, God's speaking some pretty heavy stuff there, but he's warning the people, you have turned away from me again. What does it take for you to just get so busy and you say, well, I don't turn away from him, I just don't include him. Let's stop the semantics. If we don't include God in our lives, we've actually have turned away and found something else to take his place. What is it? Is it job? Is it money? Is it things? Is it stuff? Is it the world's acclaim? Or you have to answer that. Because he wants to warn us. And if you turn to Psalm 103, verse 3, the second place that God speaks of healing and the wounds. Psalm 103:3. Well, how about Psalm 103? Let's just do the whole psalm because this is a good word for every one of us. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Anybody need their youth renewed daily? Amen. Hallelujah. Without a pill. Praise God. Amen. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He has made known his way to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. Now tell me if you get a better deal from some little statue or something else in this world that you're running after. He's slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, for he will harbor his anger forever, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That is enough right there. Amen? Yes. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants, who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Praise God. Now a number of times it speaks of he heals all of our diseases, but throughout that, do you notice if there's anything or anyone to fear, it's a reverent fear of God. Anyone else, anything else, do not be afraid. What can they do compared to God? Not much. Not much. Just the enemy just nipping at your heels. Just trying to take your eyes off. What is it that takes your eyes off? Takes away the thought that you don't need to depend and rely on the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. You do. You need him. You need to be in his presence and find that time. Man, this world goes by fast enough. And is there not enough things in one 24-hour period to keep you running like crazy? Well, sometime during that 24-hour period, you need 30 minutes or something just to get quiet and bask in his presence and just appreciate him for who he is. Look at Psalm 103, go back to it, full of compassion. His love knows as high as the heavens are from the earth. His love knows no bounds. He heals all your diseases. He forgives all your sins. He doesn't treat our sins like we deserve, it says. Man, there's some good things there, y'all. If that can't get you through any day, I don't know what will. And that's just saying this is who he is. He loves you this much. Amen. Why? Because it's real important that when we meet people, there's a gentleness and a respect. It's not something that I'm doing it for duty. I have to do this. I got to get these 4 points out to you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. You've sinned, you've fallen short of the glory of God, you're going on this road, and you got to find the narrow gate. And, you know, forget that, man. You got to be real with people. Find out where they are. Respect them to hear their story. So, Robin, why it was important, she kept saying, because they all have a story. Every person that you'll meet that the Lord brings you to has a story to tell. And if it's without God, all God says is they're lost right now. But they're in the process of meeting me through you. Isn't that awesome? They're going to meet God through you. See God through you. That's exciting to me. Turn to Isaiah 53, the next place in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. Very familiar passage. I'm sure we've spoke it over and over. And here it is, the Lord's talking about his people again, and 53 is talking about Jesus, the Lord, the Savior that's coming for you. You know, 53, it starts out, who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. Talking about Jesus, he didn't have beauty, he didn't have something to attract him, but he just kind of grew up in the midst of us. All of a sudden, ministry began. But in 5 and 6, it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Hallelujah. And right after that, it goes again. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, don't sheep. 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 Sheep go astray if they don't hear the voice of the shepherd. So the danger of going astray is always there if you're not listening to his voice. We got to be committed to hearing the word of God be confirmed in our hearts. Putting the situations that we live in underneath the word of God, asking the Holy Spirit to bring confirmation, bring the gifts that God gifts the church with, confirmation to you that God is here. God is in control. Can you imagine a prophetic word from Utah across the nation kind of describes us to a T? Wow, and what the Lord has in store for his church. Amen? That's pretty awesome to me. Praise his name. And one last passage, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. You with me? I'm almost done. Can you believe this? No one can believe this. Now don't break into song either, okay? All right. See, sometimes the Lord says, the message I want to get across, make it short, Gil, get to the point, let them hear it, and walk away with it. Hebrews 12, verse 13 reads this way. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Now, there are times when we need the Lord. Now, wouldn't you know this is in the discipline section of the scriptures? That all discipline at the time is unpleasant, but it's good because it's working something in and through us that needs to be worked out. That's why even in prison times, what was God working out in little Joseph? Remember, Joseph had the dreams, great dreams, for a 17-year-old. But not great dreams to tell your brothers. Hey, look at this. This stalk represents me. I'm going to rise up and you're all going to bow down to me. Isn't that cool? How many older brothers want? Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Then you tell your father, too, the same, you know, a couple dreams. They're confirmed. Dad, Mom, even you, too. And the father's like, it says his father said, you probably shouldn't say these to your brothers. But it also said Jacob kept the matter in his heart. He didn't forget it. And then all of a sudden in his old age, how God did this. And isn't it neat that Joseph said, what you guys meant for evil, God meant for good. God allowed these things to happen. Why? So people would be saved. I mean, How many people were saved? We don't know. But I mean, to have such a great famine that was going to be greater than the years of abundance, and giving Joseph wisdom to take a fifth of every harvest for those 7 years, a fifth, and they stored it to where they not only had food during the famine, then they sold their livestock, and then they sold their land. And so the people, yes, gave up everything, but then were blessed back with it at the end because they all survived. Incredible. And that's where God's people started in Egypt. Remember, Moses came after this. And Jacob comes and settles in Goshen, and you got 12 sons, so you're gonna have a crowd in a hurry. You know, wives and children, and all of a sudden, and it says they multiplied and grew in great in number. 2 years after that, a Pharaoh rises up that didn't remember Joseph, and all of a sudden we see Moses and see God's hand. Who knows what God's doing in and through us today for tomorrow? We think, oh man, just get the suit. No. God's been, just think what he was doing 30 years ago for you and I now. The people that he brought into your life. The journey that you went down, even the prison times. The dark times, the tough times, the difficult times where you knew God was there, but man, life was crazy, and all of a sudden you find out, wow, 2014, we come together, a little group of what? God's children, God's revival army. Do you see? Do you hear that prophetic word? There's a revival army being formed, far greater than we are, across this world. But we're a part of it. Now that's exciting. That is so exciting to me. Because this great revival, we know it's coming according to the word of God. Before he returns, it's going to be a great revival. And all of a sudden, he's preparing us for it now. So as we go forward, like I said, today, I pray by the power of the Spirit, if there's still people or a situation, circumstance, that when you talk about it, it comes up still angry or hurt, including myself, it's time, in the name of Jesus, to truly lay it down and let him bury it. Entrusting ourselves to the one who judges justly. Because really, what can we do to these people? Call them bad names? Talk about them, gossip? Really? It's gone, it's past, it's over, it's entrusted. Let's encapsulate them in that entrusting to God. Because I want to be free. Why? Because I want to give an account. I want to speak the awesome things of God when someone gives me a reason. They ask for the reason. What's up with you? Why are you different? I pray that the first thing in our tongue is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because God intervened in my life. God has transformed and is changing me all the time. He has forgiven me. I am a brand new person because of Jesus Christ. And you should meet his family. That's y'all. That's y'all, all right? And just think. I mean, God's done, he's put you exactly where you are for his reason. Where you live, your neighborhood. Right now, right where you are for this season. We were just sitting in the yard just kind of trying to fathom what God has done. We were sitting there arm in arm looking at a fire pit. And we're saying, 8 months ago, what do you think we were going to be? We thought we didn't know where we were going to be. Didn't even expect to be back in ministry. We really just didn't know. 9, 10 months ago. And look what God has done. I stand before you as a testimony as unto God. God was faithful. God restored. God forgave. God is continuing to cleanse and continually put back on that path. And he's doing it in and through all of us continuously if you allow him to. So today, I'm not going to take you to James. I'm going to read it. Is any of you in trouble? Don't answer that, Joe. No, I'm just kidding. It says, if any of you are in trouble, you should pray. Is anyone happy? Anyone happy here? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? Call the elders of the church to pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Look at this. Elijah was a man just like us, it says. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. I want to read that one more time. Whoever turns, it says, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Let's choose healing. Amen. Father God, we come before you today as each individual right here, right where they are, with their hearts open to you. If there is anyone in their life, Lord, that needs to be released, forgiven, and entrusted to you, I pray, Lord, that they will be not only given the power to forgive, but in that instant they would be released from the very prison that they're in. Lord God, shackles would be broken, they would be free in Jesus Christ. And I just pray right now, Lord God, the past that has actually formed this people, we lay it down before you corporately, not only as individuals, but as a body of believers that represent Jesus Christ. We lay that down. Help us to learn from it. Help us to trust you more. Help us to entrust the past, release it, and truly press on, press forward, reach for the goal and the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ. For the past is behind us. May it be released in the name of Jesus by the power of the Spirit. I say this with you. Amen and amen. In Jesus Christ, may the past be released. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us sing a song and then we will have... Let's do communion first, okay? We want to do communion first at this time. And I was given a powerful teaching on communion. So if you have your Bibles, you want to follow with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, a powerful teaching. And I must say, I've literally had communion for decades and yet never received this teaching. Never. I've just kind of like been, it's been a somber time and we just kind of let's remember the Lord. And but at the same time, if you turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, it says, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? It is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? And it's talking about the precious, real blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's symbolic as we take a wine, but we're talking about the real blood of Jesus, that the power to save, the power to forgive, that blood, the power to heal, the power to deliver. We're participating in the real, powerful blood of Jesus Christ. When we're sharing communion together, and as I read this teaching, it's true, we've made it a ritual for the church to do once a month. And I would encourage you, as this teaches, that whenever you get together with brothers and sisters, I don't care if there's two or three gathered, or four or five or something, if you are able to, have communion. Remember, there's power that's within you. The same power resides within you that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's through the precious body and the blood of Jesus Christ that he has made that possible. That, remember when Jesus was anointed, his body was anointed for burial from that woman that came in, and everybody else said, man, what a waste and all. And he said, no, let her do this. Because Jesus was anointed. He was the Son of God. He was the perfect Lamb. And when we share this together, we're talking the body of Christ, not just the body of a body of people, But the very body of Christ that was sacrificed for us, there's power in that sacrifice, y'all. He was the unblemished lamb, the perfect Son of the living God. And so in 1 Corinthians 11, he goes on to, He goes on to teach, I received this from the Lord, from which I pass on to you, verse 23 of chapter 11. And this is where I've never put this together. It says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks, broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Now, I want you to take note, it was the same night he was betrayed. And if you remember, in our past, I was asked one last time to speak at Faith Fellowship, and they asked me to do communion, and I couldn't. And I told them that. I said, I'm not in the place. But really, I was just looking at where I was at. And I wasn't looking at the precious and the powerful body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Because, see, we've always said you got to look inward and find sin, confess those sins, clean yourself up, and then you can take communion. I'm sorry, but the Word of God teaches you can't clean yourself up. You stand alone in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His precious blood and his body that was broken for you, the sacrifice that only the Father accepted and put all of his wrath on was Jesus Christ. So actually, I could have done it that day, but I didn't have this understanding. It wasn't about remembering and honoring Jesus and relying on his power to get through. I actually said no to communion with Christ because of how I felt and my feelings at the time and my hurt and my unforgiveness. All I know is when I say forgiveness today to you, it's by the power of Jesus that I say it. By the precious power of his blood and his body that was sacrificed for you, I stand here today and say we must release everybody. And I should have stood in him then, but just knowing this now, I understand in a whole new way. I don't take communion on how I feel or if I had a good week or a bad week, because I have to dive upon Jesus Christ. It's like he's laying on top of you. He's my covering. He's my righteousness. He's my strength, my joy. He's my all in all. Jesus, that precious Jesus, the Jesus we'll remember today. And thank him that he would allow his body to be broken that you may be healed and whole. That his precious, powerful blood still flows today because he lives. This is living. This is powerful. This is the blood that covers. This is the same Jesus that heals all your diseases, forgives all your sins. Yeah, that Jesus. And so I tell you today, Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he realized that by this bread and by this cup, you're going to realize that even when you're betrayed, even when falsely accused, all these things, you stand in me and me alone. And he took the bread, broke it, and gave thanks. Take this in remembrance of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the same way, the same night he was betrayed, he took that cup. This isn't about you trying to make yourself righteous, trying to prove yourself to God or please him. This blood represents a brand new covenant. In my blood, when you drink it, you remember me, said Jesus. Drink in remembrance of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you that we stand alone. But there's power to heal today because of Jesus, because of his blood, because of his body. We are even become a part of his body. The anointed ones, the children of God, the joint heirs with Jesus. His precious blood flows through our veins. We are King's kids. And nothing that we've done is because of you, Jesus. And yes, we will commune with you. We will draw close to you and say, thank you. It's because of you that today we can be delivered. Today, people are being saved. Today, people are being divinely healed because of your blood, your body, Jesus. You, the one and only sacrifice. We give you the glory. And thank you that we stand today in victory because of you. In your precious and almighty name we pray. Amen. Let's praise the Lord.